All right. I'd like to open with a joke, but it's an open conversation joke, so you'll have to play along so I'll feel better about the joke, okay? Are we ready? This is a real simple one. Knock, knock. Banana. Knock, knock. Banana. Knock, knock. Banana. Knock, knock. Orange. Orange, you glad I didn't say banana? Okay. So, hopefully those who were becoming impatient with that joke overcame that impatience and continued to please me and keep saying, "Who's there?" Because that's what our lesson, our Bible study really is about. And it is a classroom. This is not a lecture. Please speak up. Otherwise, we'll finish too early and we will just have to sit here and look at each other if y'all don't participate. Our topic is overcoming impatience. And it's unique that this is our topic and not just growing impatience. Impatience, not overcoming impatience. Because there's a difference between being patient and overcoming your impatience. For instance, I can be pretty patient with people who I work with, adults, but sometimes I can get impatient with my children, right? And so the struggle for me is not to have patience for the adult mind, but to have patience for the child's mind. The child is constantly learning, constantly trying to see how the world works, right? So they ask these silly questions. I think they're silly, but they're not. Got to remember that this is a child's head on a child's body, not an adult head on a child's body, right? Okay, so Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Okay. There's an old Dutch proverb that says a handful of patience is worth more than a bushel of brains. Okay, let's think about that for a second. Why would that be the truth there? Why would that be a true saying? Maybe because someone who thinks they have a bushel full of brains rushes into something and then has to back up. Where someone that has patience to see things through accordingly does it correct the first time. There were a lot of things as a kid I had to do twice because I did it wrong the first time thinking I knew more than my dad. I'm sure there's a lot of people in here that can say the same thing. But I'm proud to say there are a few times where I did it better than dad did it, but that's another story. Patience is defined as what? Who can tell me some synonyms or a definition of what patience is? This is where we talk so that it goes by slower. I'm sorry? Ability to wait. I like that one. Long suffering. Sure, yeah. And a patient listener hears the whole thing before making a judgment or replying. Yep. Yes, steadfastness. That's a real good one. Let me give you Webster's definition. Bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. Manifesting forbearance under provocation of strain. Not hasty or impetuous. Steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity, and able and or willing to bear. Okay, in the Bible, we have two Greek words in the New Testament specifically that are interpreted as, or are translated, as patience. One is hupomone, which I'm sure that's wrong. But H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E, for those who want to take a note on that. And it's the most translated as patience. There's another one, a synonym that is macrothumia, which is M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A. And that's usually translated as long-suffering. Can you imagine, which one do you think is more in a sentence structure explaining how God operates and how Christian operates? Which one do you think would be used more there? The one for the patience, more interpreted as patience, or the one that's more interpreted as long-suffering? Long-suffering. And when we're reading our Bibles and we're looking at these sentences, a lot of times when a Christian is told to be patient, it's for the hope. It's for through trials. It's through things like this. And it's because it's not our duty, it's not our privilege to go get justice for the things we go through. Right? That's God. God will provide the justice for the evil that goes on in this world. So His long-suffering will eventually end because He's going to judge the world, right? Or our patience is never to end. There's a little bit of a difference there in those words, and that's the way I look at them. Long-suffering, He's going to suffer for a long time. Eventually, He's going to stop. He's going to stop letting His heart be broken and do something about it. Where us, our patience is to be continuing forever and ever and ever. So the question is, why are we even studying about patience and overcoming impatience? And the reason is because we're told to. We're told to, right? God has told us in His Word that we are to add patience to our lives in 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 11. We are to follow after patience, 1 Timothy 6, 11. And we are to be sound in patience, Titus 2, 2. We are to run the Christian race in patience, Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. And then He describes the saints in Revelation with patience. That's in Revelation 13, 10 and 14, 12. So, can anyone give me some biblical examples of a patient person? Job. Very good. Yeah, Job was very, very patient. In fact, his patience is proclaimed in James chapter 5, verse 11 in the New Testament. For us to be to look back at Job and say, look at how he used to do it. Right? Look at how patient he was. Anyone else? I'm sorry? Hannah? Give me an example. I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. Yep. That's right. And it wasn't just a one-time occurrence. She constantly went to the temple. Yes, sir. Isaac? Yeah, I think I would have given up. That's why I have the lesson over overcoming impatience. Abraham and Sarah, yep. In fact, they actually weren't very, Sarah wasn't very patient at times. Yeah, yep. Yep. She'd given up. She's like, there's no way I'm going to have a kid. They did wait a long time, yep. Yep. What about God? Right? God is patient. We just went over that, long suffering. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 15, verse 5. And whoever gets there and would like to read it, please speak up and read it. Okay, so here's the God of patience and comfort or consolation, if you have the King James Version. And that we are to, what now? As Christians, what did that say? Be like-minded. We're supposed to be like Him. So when God's showing us patience in our mess ups, in our trials, in our, you know, shortcomings, what do we need to do with each other when someone else may sin against us? The answer is be patient. I'll give that one to you. Be like-minded, right? And to go even beyond that patience and be a comforter, right? Isn't that what it says? The God of patience and comfort. Because we're going to mess up. You know, we strive not to, but eventually we will, right? And it's our duty as a Christian family specifically to take that person by the hand and say, hey, it's okay. How can I help? Not, I can't believe you did that. That's terrible. You know? Who's another example? Yes. Yes. Yep. And that's another example of God's patience too, in that He allowed Noah to finish that ark instead of just giving in, looking at the world. Because everybody's thoughts were on evil things. Continually. And so, but yes, Noah, how many times have you been told no before you gave up? He went through it for 40 years, right? Preaching the word, and everyone kept saying no. It's not, no, we're not changing our lives. Having too much fun. Yes, yes. Yep. Moses, yep. Moses lost his patience, didn't he, one time? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. How neat is that thought right there? I've thought about that before. If I got to talk to God and He told me He was about to destroy America, would I have the patience for America to say, hold on, don't sin those other countries over here to destroy us, you know. Just hold on. Let's try to work through this. I may be like, okay, whatever you say. You know, who am I to argue with God? But Moses, you know, he saw the good in the people, even though they were doing bad things. Christ, that's a big one that I was waiting on. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Let's turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And begin in verse 8 and read through verse 9. Whoever would like to. Okay. This is the man of God, the God in the body, right? And he was someone, a disciple of his, been with him for a long time, and he still wasn't getting it. And Jesus says, hey, you got to start thinking now, come on, and continues to try to show him the way, all right? How could he have answered that instead? Showing impatience. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. We talked about Job of the Old Testament, and I referenced James chapter 5, verse 11. Someone turn over to James chapter 5, verse 10. There's a couple. There's actually a lot more, but it's one word. Of those who had great patience. Who else do we read about there having patience? James chapter 5 verse 10. The prophets. How many of those prophets would have probably preferred just saying, forget you people, you're crazy, I'm leaving. I know I'm right with God. But would they have been right with God if they just left when God told them to go do something? Yes, sir. Yeah, but did it work out for them? So, I mean, these prophets were tortured at times, persecuted. You know, when no one else was by their side, they were by themselves up against a multitude. But they still spoke the word. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. This is a perfect example of the way the church should be. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. Actually, let's start in verse 1. Keep going. All right, let's stop there. Two times Jesus mentioned their patience, didn't he? Two times there. Let's back up a little bit and let's look at a definition of patience again. Does patience envelop the idea of tolerance? If someone continues to live in sin and you have spoken to this person about that, and you've been patient with that person, do you tolerate the sinful act forever and just let it be? Well, exactly. But there comes a time when you have to put your foot down, you know, metaphorically speaking, and say, you've got to fix this. Or we're going to have to get church discipline involved, correct? I mean, we read about it in 1 Corinthians. Those people were tolerating sin. It may have been under the pretense that they thought that they were being patient with that individual. Right? We don't know that. But it could have been. I've seen it in congregations where people have been patient with an individual, but continue just to allow them to come in and worship as the body, knowing that they're continually sinning and they haven't changed their life, and they're not going to. They just tolerate it. That's not patience. Correct. All right, sorry. We can get back on point. That was just... Yeah. Well, It's unique that it's in the same sentence as the patience, right? But not with sinfulness. Yep. Right. All right. Then just look down at verse 19 of chapter 2 in Revelation. This is describing the church in Thessalonica, verse 19. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to do more than the first. You notice that works is mentioned in the passage we just read earlier and the passage that we just read now. And both of them have patience in there. You can assume that work was with patience, seeing that it's in the same sentences under the same thought process. We'll get to this later, but one of the places where we need to see patience, Christian patience, is when we're trying to do the work of the Lord, right? We'll talk about that a little later, though, but just kind of a side note. Several areas, in fact, we're going to talk about them right now, several areas in which we need to show our patience can be categorized into a few different levels, but can you... Give me some examples of situations or people that we need to be patient with to humor me. I'm sorry? New Christians. Yep. Correct. Yeah, we need to be patient, especially in our soul winning. You know, what else? Who else? What circumstance?
I'm trying to be patient with someone who's
Yeah, yeah. What a pain. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What about with ourselves? Like me personally, I need to be patient with Chad Shirtle. I'm sorry? Yeah. Well, you compare yourself naturally with others around you, right? And so to allow God to work in His way in your life, sometimes you need to sit back and allow it to happen rather than trying to force yourself ahead or force yourself in a situation where maybe you won't thrive, right? We each have our own talents. Granted, I'm trying to force myself into this talent of teaching a class, which is not really my forte. Maybe I'll get better at it, you know. But maybe patient with ourselves. The Christian life is a process of growth and development. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Begin in verse 1 and read through verse 3. Chapter 3, 1 through 3. Whoever has that, please read it. Okay, so it's a really simple picture, right? Do we feed babies a ribeye steak right after they leave the hospital? No, give them milk. Going back to being patient with other Christians, new Christians, you can't throw the book at them and expect them to be able to keep it perfectly right off the bat and to understand the depth of it. Okay? In the Old Testament, there was thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt, you know, forever and ever and ever. And there's books, you know, two books, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you know, and it's just, but it does, at times it doesn't explain why. Now we can look back at it and say, oh, well, that's because it's not healthy to keep your bowels close to your house, right? It's not safe to have blood laying all over the place. It's not, you know, there's reasons that we can see, and maybe they saw it back then too. Maybe that's why there wasn't a why given. But then you come to the New Testament and Jesus says, you've heard not to commit adultery, right? And then he says, but I say to you that whoever lusts after a woman commits adultery. Gets deeper. Goes to the heart rather than just keeping the rules, right? So a new babe in Christ may not be able to grasp the reasoning and the depth into some of these things, but they can keep some rules at first, right? So, yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Here's just an illustration. Too many devils are like the man who says, I want God give me patience and I want it right now.
Yep.
That's our big fault.
Yes, sir. There was a gentleman that I had the privilege to attend services with as a teenager growing up. And this man was a laborer his whole life. A simple black and white man. Things are black and white, and he was as good as they come. And he always said, you be careful if you're going to pay for patience, because James says you're going to get some tribulations. Okay? But that shouldn't deter us from praying for patience, because that patience will help us grow. Okay, and that's another point we're going to make a little later on. Let's also turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 reiterates the same point from 1 Corinthians. Hebrews chapter 5. And begin in verse 12 and read through 14, whoever has that. All right. So, there becomes a place where, as we've said before, patience needs to still allow things to progress and push things to progress. Our patience shouldn't be allowing a babe in Christ to stay a babe in Christ, right? Our patience should be that as we're trying to grow with that individual, that we remember they are a babe in Christ. But eventually, we're all going to have to eat some ribeye steaks, right? Thankfully. Couldn't live on milk. But our patience can become a fault if we allow it to be an excuse to not push ourselves or an individual to grow. Is that a true statement? Okay. Who else should we be patient with? We've kind of engulfed ourselves and everyone and Christians, but more specifically, think about the people that are closest to you. Who should you be patient with there? Parents. Spouse. Children. Okay, so the family unit, right? We need to be patient inside the family unit. And there's three relationships there. There's the spouse to the spouse. There's the parents to the children. But then there's the children to the parents. And I have an example of each one of those. I married a very patient person. She can move slow if she wants to. I don't. My brain doesn't do that. I constantly, have to do this, and so my patience level is sometimes not what it ought to be. But thankfully, she's there to counteract that, okay, and to help me grow in patience. For instance, couldn't have planned studying for this lesson at a better time. We just got back from a road trip to Missouri with a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. Okay? And you laugh at me because you knew better. You would have said, you don't want to do that. Why don't you choose Dallas and stay in Dallas area? No, we went all the way up to Missouri and it was hot. And we camped in a tent. It was way hot. Humidity was about, I think the lowest was 85. My poor wife, this is an example of her patience, because she allowed me to take us on that trip. It was my idea. She's from the panhandle. You know how much humidity is there? It's either 0 or 100 because it's raining. And then when it stops raining, it magically goes back to 0. There is no moisture up there that resides. Okay? And we're trying to sleep in a tent with no air conditioning. And it's 85 degrees, the hottest week they've had in Missouri. The last week was like lows of 65 at night, which would have been tolerable, would have been great, you know. So where I was quick to say, we're getting a hotel, she was like, no, we came here to camp. That's an example of Lindsay's patience. She didn't even want to be there, and she was more patient than I was. She would have enjoyed the hotels much earlier. Possibly. I think everyone heard that too, so I won't repeat it. Yeah. Yeah, I won't tell you what it was, but I learned it. Now, the example I have from this trip about my patience towards my children. My son, once we got to Bront, asked me every 2 minutes, "Hey Dad, where's the sun?" I say, "It's behind the clouds." Because it was about to be beyond the horizon, but there was a cloud layer right there to the west. And in 2 minutes, he said, "Hey Dad, where's the sun?" I say, "It's behind the clouds." He goes, "How do you know?" I say, "Because I can see that there's light coming from behind the clouds. It's behind the clouds." Okay. "Hey Dad, I don't see the sun. Where's the sun?" "It's behind the clouds." Okay? Finally, he asked me, and I got to change my answer. I said, "It's behind the horizon." He goes, "Oh, what's the horizon?" Okay? That's a patience that the repetitiveness was hard for me, but the wanting to learn, that was easy. Once we got to "what's the horizon," explain the horizon and all that stuff, and I got to say, "Well, it's where the ground hits the sky." He said, so where the trees stop and the sky starts? Yeah, I'm okay with those questions, but the constant, where's the sun? That was hard on me. But then I haven't gotten to witness this like some may have here, but the patience that needs to be shown from a child to a parent as years have been added to their life, you know, my parents right now are having to take care of both sets of my grandparents. It's hard. One of my grandfathers has been in the hospital 2 times in the last 3 weeks. And his wife, my grandmother, can't drive. So it's up to my parents to get him there. Same with the other side. The other grandparents are going through the same thing. And my parents are they're the children. Though they both have siblings, they're the children where the parents reside. The siblings live elsewhere. Can't do it. Not that they're unwilling, they just can't. So, I'm sorry. I will. But you know, that's something that we get busy with our lives, and then something like that hits you. You know, changes your plans dramatically. You're no longer going to take a trip to Missouri to camp and sweat. You know, you're going to take care of those parents. Yeah. It's important. It's important to everybody. Another time we need to show patience is when we're being what? Complete that sentence. When we're being tempted, tested, persecuted, right? We read about how to rejoice in tribulation because it grows our patience, right? And in Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, blessed is the man who is persecuted for Jesus' sake, right? For his is the kingdom of God. He needs to be patient in that situation. What's the difference between a trial and a persecution? Are they the same? Not the same? I can see that. Persecution is also when someone's just going to be mean to you, right? Just to do it. Whether that's through emotional persecution or physical, as we read about in the Bible, and as we see in other countries, where a trial can just be having a rough day at work. You know, let me get through this day. Right? It's no one's purposely trying to just pin you down and hurt you. It's just situational. Let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let's read verse 4. Who is the we ourselves right there so that we boast? Who wrote this letter? Paul? Yeah. Paul, Silas, and Timothy probably. Who I can assume the we are because they're all supposed to be in Corinth probably at this time together. So these are great righteous men and they're boasting about these people in Thessalonica, right? About their what? Their patience. As a church unit, and not just patience, but patience in tribulation and persecutions, both of them. Not just persecutions and not just tribulations or trials, but both of them. Not only are people trying to pin them down and hurt them, but situations maybe within the government that rules over them. It's making it hard to be a Christian. Walking outside and seeing all kinds of sinfulness, making it hard to be a Christian. It's not that those people are trying to say, oh, there's a Christian, let's get him. But at times they are. And yet they still show patience. And so much patience that they're willing to boast about it. We also need to be patient regarding church growth. We can't always look at this number that's not there right now, but it will be later, and think, we're not growing. What's happening? Or, Man, we're growing fast, right? Sometimes fast growth is not good growth. You ever seen those buildings go up real fast, then the first major storm that comes through, they're on the ground, and that house has been there for 75 years, built with, you know, nothing but hands, no real tools, stood firm. True Christian growth is up here. It's not a number that you throw out there, right? I mean, it feels good to be able to say we have 125 people showed up on Sunday. That's a great feeling. I came from a congregation where we had four members, no preacher. We hired preachers like Brian out of Southwest School of Bible Study every Sunday to come out and preach. It's a fun thing to look up there sometimes and see some numbers. But there's a lot easier way to get numbers up there. We can start doing some bad stuff, right? Tickling the ears, so to speak. We can't compromise God's word just to see numbers. We need to be patient. Who gives the increase? We water and plant the seeds, but who gives the increase? God does. Yes. Right. That's right. I had a... Yes. Yes, ma'am. That's true. Many find which gate? The right gate or the wrong gate? The wrong gate. There's few that find the right gate. But it's still uplifting to see numbers improve. It really is. And that only comes with work of the congregation. True growth only comes with work of the congregation, getting out there and trying to spread the word. We also need to be patient in our prayer lives. We're going to speed through this because we're almost out of time. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, we read the month Chislu is when Nehemiah found out about the ruins of Jerusalem and how people were being afflicted. Very upset about it. And the rest of chapter 1 is a prayer. It is a prayer to God that he can, that something can be done. Okay? Then in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, we read of the month Nisan, or Nisan, or Nisan, or something. It looks like Nissan without an S. But that's 3 months later from the time that the prayer took place. And he finally gets an opportunity from the king to go back to rebuild. It took 3 months for God to give him his opportunity. Is it because God had to work for 3 months to figure out the right opportunity? No, it's because the right time was 3 months from that point. If Nehemiah had just gotten up and left his duties, who do you think would have been coming after him to stop him? The king. Right? In Jeremiah chapter 42, verses 4 through 7, it took 10 days for Jeremiah's prayers to be answered. Okay? I know a lot of families, a lot of young couples that have tried really hard to have children. Couldn't. Years down the road, they get a child. And they prayed very hard from the very beginning. So, God works in the fullness of time, right? In His time. Time doesn't mean anything to God. He's eternal. So that is a hard one for me. That's where we'll stop. I had very little more, so we didn't miss out on anything. Thank you. Class dismissed. Team on three.